Welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and David Jennings taking you through a packed weekend of racing. Eight races on ITV4 on Saturday from Ripon, Newbury and Newmarket. We'll get the Saturday naps, and on Sunday over in Deauville, there is a real cracker, one of the highest quality races of the whole summer. Plus, as if that wasn't all, four brilliant days racing at York start on Wednesday. It's the Ebor Festival, and we'll get some early steers from the lads on that. But straight in with Saturday's big action, and we'll start the 3:10 at Ripon. It's the William Hill Silver Trophy Handicap. It's a consolation for the Great St Wilfrid, which comes up 35 minutes later. So two big handicaps to kick off with. That will test the lads. Here's the latest betting, indicative prices. Shop around, as always, for best value and best each-way terms. But the 13-2 favourite is Gathanfar. I didn't pronounce that very well, but hopefully you know what I mean. 7-1 Citroen Major, 8-1 Fortimore, 8-1 Dan's and 9-1 Out the Hat, 11-1 Ventura Express and 12-1 Bar and David Jennings. Who's going to win this?
Got to start off with a 16-1 shot here, Bruce. I don't think it'll go off 16-1. I'm going to go for Tim Easterby and David Allen here. The last five winners of this race have been drawn 18, 14, 20, 20 and 16. So you need to be high. Bazipop was at stall 18. And just looking at the last four of those five winners that were drawn high, they were in front at halfway. So I think you need to be prominent. I think Bazipop will be prominent from stall 18. He's won four in his course and distance. He's only £2 higher than when he won a Pontefract in May. So I think he's well handicapped. He's just a little bit out of form. I think a race like this is just tailor-made for him. And Tim Easterby is four in here. And David Allen is basically a stable jockey. So I presume he would have had to pick at him. I think it's 16-1. I think Bossipop.
Bossipop is David Jennings' first selection of the day. Who's your first selection of the day, Tom Collins?
Well, I think DJ just said spoke a lot of sense there, which is
you
a common occurrence.
Surprised.
I am. You need a front runner and you need a high draw. That tends to be the bias at Ripon, especially in big field handicaps. And Bossipop was the last off my shortlist. He was the second selection in here. But I'm going to side with I Am a Dreamer for Paul Midgley, who has a plus £18.33 £1 level stakes profit with his older horses at the track, which I think is pretty interesting given he's had a lot of runners here. I'm a Dreamer finished one place ahead of Bossipop in a Ripon handicap earlier this season, won by Comanche Falls, who subsequently won the Stewards Cup. So it's a good piece of form. He raced off the favoured rail that day as well. Bossipop was against the rail. So I think you can mark up I'm a Dreamer. He basically came to win the race. Just Comanche Falls had a much better turn of foot and cleared past him in the final 100 yards. He's failed to fire in three subsequent runs, which is why I'm a Dreamer is probably around 16-20-1. He's a big price. But he's dropped to a mark of 80, £6 lower than last year when he finished a really unlucky sixth in the Great St Wilfrid itself. So I think I Am a Dreamer has got a real good chance for a trainer who does well at the track.
Okay, the boys are going for it in our first race. I Am a Dreamer for Tom and Bossipop for David Jennings. Let's move on to the big betting race of the day, 3:45 Ripon. It's the William Hill Great St Wilfrid Handicap over 6 furlongs. 20 go to post. Mr Wagyu, 6-1 favourite with last year's winner Staxton. And then it's 8-1 Soul Seeker, 9-1 Music Society, 10-1 Lampang, 12 Mockatiel, 12 Lincoln Park, 12 Mr. Lupton, 12 Intrinsic Bond, 12 Boardman. Blimey, I write loads of 12-1 shops. Anyway, you get the impression it's wide open. And who's going to win it, Tom?
Well, make sure you watch the consolation race that we just covered, because that'll give you a good indication of where you want to be drawn. We think high.
Will it, though? Will it?
Well,
do these consolations always correlate into what happens in the main event, or can they be the biggest red herrings of all time?
They can be, but I've written the previews for both of these two races, and in the last 10 years, it's basically correlates exactly. There's only one year where low draws came out on top, and they came out on top in both races. So I think it's a good point towards Ripon. I mean, it's an idiosyncratic, undulating track. You need a well balanced, agile horse. Like there are a lot of you need to put a lot of ticks in a lot of boxes, and I think a draw bias is quite clear. Also, as DJ said in the consolation race, being on the front runner is crucial. 7 out of the last 10 winners of the Great St Wilfrid have led every single yard of the running. So you want horses that have that early speed. I'm going to be with Staxton. Although I'm not convinced stall 8 is a positive, which goes against my theory in here. The positive for Staxton is that there's no other front runner drawn low. I think he's got a favourable pace scenario over there, and he may be able to lead every yard without being challenged, which is a crucial part of finding a winner in a big field handicap. Duran Fensman won the race on Staxton last year. He's aboard again this year. £4 higher, but he's shown on his last two runs that he's ready to fire again, especially when he caught the Ireland Scottish Stewards Cup on his penultimate start, a race that's working out really well. He was unfavoured by soft ground last time at Goodwood. I think the return to quicker conditions at Ripon, a track he loves, will suit Staxton.
Thank you very much, Tom. DJ, are you confident going into this one?
I think I've found one here, Bruce. I really do. 16-1, and I certainly don't think he'll go off 16-1. I like Soldier's Minute for Keith Dalglish and Callum Rodriguez. Tom mentioned the draw there. The last five winners have been drawn 17, 15, 19, 10, and 13. Last 3 years, 17, 15, 19. Soldier's Minute is drawn in 15, like the Dakota Gold was in 2019. I think he can forget his run at Hamilton last time over five. He was against real speedsters, proper ones, like El Astronauta and Emiratiana won it. And I think it was a pipe opener for this, to get him tuned in, to get him focused, running at speed. He's down to a mark of 94. That's his lowest mark since he won at York in May of 2019 off 92. He was only beaten two lengths in the Air Gold Cup last year off £4 higher. Ground is ideal. I think you get one big shot at a handicap with horses like Soldier's Minute. I think Keith Dalglish has said this is Soldier's Minute's one big shot this year. And I think 16-1 is massive.
Thank you very much, chaps. Let's turn our attention now to Newmarket. They've got two races on ITV, the first of which is the 2 o'clock. It's the Mansion Bet Phillies Handicap. Midraw favourite at 3-1. Goulwar 3-1. Eileen Dover. Remember when she was the new queen of the bumper block? She's fours. Military two-step is sixes, and it's 13-2 and bigger bar. Competitive race over the mile and six trip. And DJ, who do you think is going to win this?
I think Midra will win, Bruce. I'm surprised she's not a bit shorter. I thought she won well enough the other day at Wolverhampton. It was one of those where she never looked like being beaten, and yet she only won by a length and a bit. But it was cosy. I thought she was value for more than the winning margin. She's a £5 penalty for that. But you might point to the fact that she's better in the all-weather than she is at turf, but she won't cut in the ground at Chester last season. And I think she's just getting the hang of things again now. And I'm surprised she's not clear favourite. I think she should be a good deal shorter than 3-1.
How about you, Tom?
Well, I'm going to take a chance on one at price here, which is single for Mick Shannon. I think she's the outside of the field. £7 claimer Rose Dawes, who's really impressed me so far in her short riding career to date. She gets the ride, which is a plus. Now, the negative for single is the fact that she's got a run from £2 at the handicap, and she's just 2 from 25 in her career, which is probably why she's a big price. But she went straight into my tracker last time at Ascot. I thought she ran a great race when she was clearly pace compromised. Star Caliber went off really hard in the lead. Speedo Boy tracked in second. Utah was third. And there was 15 lengths back to the rest of the field. Unsurprisingly, Speedo Boy won the race. Star Caliber was second. They were always in the vanguard. Now, single was the only horse to make any ground up in that race. She finished a clear-cut second, was closing on the front two at the line. Her final four sectionals were by far the quickest in the field. She was the only horse to go sub 13 seconds in the final furlong as well. I think she can be massively marked up for that run. Martin Harley just didn't judge the pace very well at all. I think this scenario will suit her a lot better. And what, 8-1, 7-1? She's a great price, I think, in a single.
Okay, let's move on to the 2:35 at Newmarket. It's the Grey Horse Handicap. In fact, it's the Mansion Bet beaten by a head Grey Horse Handicap. And it is over, let's have a look. What is the trip here? Just trying to find it.
Six.
Sorry. Six furlongs, yeah. I'm looking at a race card I'm not normally looking at, and I couldn't get my head around where everything was, but it's six furlongs. Thank you, DJ. Mitro's on fire, 9-2. 5-1, K-Ski, 11-2, Devil's Angel, 6-1, Bar. Tom, stick with you for this one. Are you seeing it nice and clearly?
Yes, I am. My style was my nap in my Monday RFO lead tipping column, tipping point. I'm going to stick with him in here. I'm convinced this has been his target since he won the race last year. Now, to say that you're convinced the horse has been targeted at a 0-85 handicap is an odd statement, but there's only one grey horse handicap, and connections do want to win this race. My style relishes a stiff six furlongs. His two victories have come, one on the July course at Newmarket and one at Ascot. Last year, the Ascot strike actually came after winning this race. He won this race pretty cosily as well. As I say, I think this has been the plan since. He's down to a workable mark of 74. He caught the eye at Bath two runs back. And then last time out, I fancied him to win before hopefully coming here and winning. But he just started so slowly, put pay to his chance. He still finished a good fourth. I think my style is going to be my best bet of the day, but I've given away my nap already.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. I'm sure people will still have loads more great tips to listen to, so I'm sure the audience won't collapse. DJ, isn't it bonkers, right? Isn't it ridiculous that this race is for grey horses only? I think when it came out, everyone's like, oh, wow, this is something a bit different. But when you think about it, it's absolutely mad, isn't it?
What is it? It's racist.
Ludicrous. I mean, it's not racist, it's just ludicrous. I mean, why on earth would you have a race just for grey?
Yeah, I know, right? I see your point. I actually did a column for the paper tomorrow about a team event for racing that I think would work. I have no problem trying new things. I think things like this, something a little bit different. I know it's bonkers. I think we have to try it. And it seems to kind of, you know, sometimes it gets a bit of publicity in the national papers where the picture of the grey horses spread across the track. It does make a lovely picture and it does get people interested. I know it's bonkers, but I kind of like it. I kind of don't want to like it, but I kind of do in a kind of way. But anyway, who's your favourite grey horse anyway, Bruce?
It's got to be Desi, hasn't it? Mind you,
yeah.
One man. Beauty.
Monet's Garden. Yeah. Great ones. Yeah.
No,
anyway,
there's a lot of who wins it anyway? More
importantly. It's not my style to copy other tipsters on this podcast, but I'm going to do it here because, Tom has just basically stolen my thunder. You get a few seconds back here, Bruce. I just thought this was definitely the aim. And even last year in the race, kind of missed the break. I'd say it didn't go all according to plan early. I thought it was possibly a better race last year, and Dowd was second, and Kerry Blue was third. And I just, for everything Tom said there, I just second that. I think he's actually a decent price.
Lovely stuff. Let's do Newbury next.
Download the brand new Racing Post Progeny Tracker, the only tracker of its kind, giving you the ability to track unnamed racehorses by any sire or dam, and you can also get easy access to sales information. You can download it for free on the App Store by searching Progeny Tracker.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and David Jennings. There's four races from Newbury on ITV4 on Saturday. The first of which is the 145, the Denfold Stakes. A listed race better known as the Washington Singer Stakes, over 7 furlongs. And Masakela is the 5-4 favourite, 6-4 Bayside Boy, 9-2 Seattle King. And then big prices, the other three. We'll start with David Jennings. Who wins this?
Usually this is kind of, you know, solid ones against promising ones. And usually I would be the one to go for your Bayside Boy, who was impressive first time out. It could be anything. Or Seattle King, who I actually thought looked a nice type of win at Salisbury. But I think Masakela, I think this is rock solid, 107 performer, runs to that mark, probably wins. Like, first time out looked decent at Goodwood. Then it obviously ran in the Cheshire behind Point Lonsdale. Like, ran okay. They finished in mid-division, but it was that run last time really in the Superlative Stakes when just caught basically in the final stride by Native Trail. Obviously, I thought Dabab was the next big thing and didn't quite get home over 7 that day. But that is really solid, decent form that should be good enough to win a listed race. And the two that made winning debuts last time out, they're going to have to really up their game to beat Masakela. I think he's going to be very hard to beat.
You with Masakela as well, Tom?
I am indeed, yeah. This race tends to go to a well-fancied horse due to the race conditions. I mean, it's a 7 furlong event for two-year-olds who are yet to win a pattern race and whose sire or dam have won over a mile two or further. So it's going to draw a small field, tends to go to well-fancied horses. Masakela's the obvious one in here. He was impressive on debut at Goodwood, beat a subsequent winner to third. As DJ said, behind Point Lonsdale in the Chesham, just has the best form in the book. And the two horses that have just got one win to their name, Bayside Boy and Seattle King, need to find upwards of £12 on RPRs. So I think Masakela is a good bet in here.
Let's move on to the 220 at Newbury, which is the BetVictor Geoffrey Freer Stakes. It's a Group 3, and we've got a fairly warm favourite in Huckham, around about 10 to 11. Golden Pass is 6 to 1, Red Verdon 8s, Rodrigo Diaz 9s, Temba 8 runners. So the boys may decide, if they don't fancy the favourite, to take him on with an each-way pop. We'll see. Tom, what's your strategy?
Unfortunately, I do fancy the favourite. I think this race is absolutely tailor-made for Huckham. It's literally the perfect event. He's best suited to trips just shy of a mile and three quarters, on rain, soft and good ground. He gets that here. He won this race last year, absolutely bolted up. He's proved since that he can handle tougher competition. Finished third in a really good Hardwick at Royal Ascot this year, won by Wonderful Tonight. Extremely impressive last time at York. He has a £3 penalty, but he's got his last two RPRs of 117 are just good enough to win this race. I think if he runs to the same level, he'll just win.
You make it sound so simple. Do you agree, DJ?
Good thing, absolute good thing. I thought it was nearly a better race last year. You had Sexton, Mirando, Tritonic was even in it, Communique. He looked better than ever last time. I loved the way he travelled into the race last time at York. I just thought it was effortless. It was the hook-on we fell in love with last season. And I think he mightn't just be good enough to win a Group 1, but he's a rock-solid Group 2 performer running a Group 3, and I'd advise everybody put him in your multiples.
Jolly good. Let's move on to the 2:55 at Newbury on Saturday. 7 furlongs the trip for the Bet Victor handicap, and Aratus is the 9-4 favourite. 7-2 Sunset Bay, 9-2 Agile, 6-1 Magical Wish, and 8-1 Bar. And DJ, will stick with you.
Gee, this is tricky now. This isn't as easy as Hook'em or Mazakila. This is tricky. I just about sided with Sunset Bay. I thought last time at Sandown, albeit on quicker ground, I thought she was really on top of her game. Like she did everything right. She put the race to bed. And, you know, she didn't really get the smoothest of passages either. Like I thought two out, I was kind of going, oh, is she going to get the run she wants? But she really stayed on. She posted an RPR of 95 in that race. So that suggests to me that she still could be potentially well handicapped off a mark of 89. Holly Doyle takes over from Mushy Murphy, like for like, you'd imagine. And I just think she's a real improver that's going to keep getting better. Trip is fine, track is fine. Sunset Bay for me.
Who's Tom's tip?
It's going to be Agile. I think he's open to a similar amount of improvement as Aratus, who was actually one of my five horses to follow this year. I was at Kempton when Aratus won his maiden last season. He was really impressive. It's just his comeback effort. I know he won, but he pulled so hard. He was against a load of poor individuals, basically inferior rivals. That was a red flag for me, I think, in this stiffer competition. So I'm going to be with Agile at the prices. He mentally just wasn't ready to win last year, though he still managed it on his third effort at Wolverhampton. York wasn't his track. He's run there twice this season. I think there's excuses both times. He actually travelled like the best horse into the race on each occasion before flattening out. The long straight, I think, paid to his chance there. I like the drop back in Trip. He's a very smooth traveller, as I said. He's got high cruising speed. I think he's the value play in the race, but I really wouldn't be surprised if Aratus did get off to, did record the hat-trick in here.
Right, you are. The 3:30 is the pick of the card. It's the Hungerford Stakes. It's a Group 2 over the straight mile. And Al Sahel is favourite at 9-4. Sorry, 7 furlongs, pardon me. Al Sahel favourite at 9-4. Then it's 5-1 Daniel, 11-2 Motor Kyle, 7-1 Sacred, 8-1 Bar. It's worth noting that some bookmakers are paying four places on this, even though there's only 11 runners. So worth, as we always say on this show, shopping around for the best prices and also the best each way terms. Tom Collins, who do you like here?
Well, I'm going to be happy to go down on my sword if Al Sahel wins, because I think he is the lay of the day. I cannot have him at all. Hopefully DJ's not going to put him up, because this will put punters off. But
I want him to. No, I like a good old conflict of interest. But go on.
Yeah, I just think he's a terrible price. Two, he's won a listed race that was weak. Only, I think he was against 7 horses that day. They've run 26 times combined since, recorded 2 victories in lower grades. So the form is poor. His maiden victory was very impressive, and people are still clinging on to that visually impressive display, which is why he's such a short price. I cannot have him at all. If you read my preview on the app, you'll understand that as well. I'm going to oppose him with Danya. I think he's finally putting it all together now for Owen Burrows. Arguably, Owen Burrows' best horse he's ever trained, up there with Huckham. They've posted the same career best RPR. Thought it was really unlucky to bump into the World Handicap Nugget in the Spring Cup. Again, bumped into a really speedy sort in Highland Princess in the Buckingham Palace at Royal Ascot. She's won since. Though, in my view, he emerged from the race as the best horse, given he didn't have a lead, yet he was still closing down the eventual winner. I was really impressed that he managed to make all in the international handicap last time at Ascot. To make all in the 7-furlong straight course sprint at Ascot is very difficult, and Daniel managed it. I think he's the bet in here. He's still improving. His last effort was a career best. I need a horse to take on Al Sahel, and hopefully Daniel is the one.
Okay, it's even harder to say than to do, isn't it? Take him on a straight course sprint, but we got there in the end. David Jennings, do you agree that the favourite is no value here?
You know what's going to happen here, Bruce, don't you?
You're going to tip it.
Oh, yeah, this is. I've been waiting for one thing for Al Sahel for so long, and finally, at long last, it happens here. What is it, Tom?
I don't know, DJ. I can't find a positive.
The one thing that Al Sahel has been crying out for? Well, Come on, for 2 years I've been waiting for Al Suhail to be dropped in trip, and finally he's back over seven.
It doesn't fancy him. Don't get Tom to make your tipping case for you if he doesn't fancy him. Come on, bet you bang your own drum.
I fancy Al Suhail. I think he's a seven furlong specialist. He's a powerful, he's a real proper kind of a sprinter that just isn't quick enough for six, but I think doesn't get a mile. I think he falls in between two stools. And I think even last time when you saw him at Ascot, in what I thought was a good summer mile, that was a proper group too, with horses rated between 110, 120. He travelled all over them. He traded quite short in running. I think he traded about 2-1 in running, travelling over him. I don't think he got home. I think they've been trying to make him into a miler, and he's been running over a mile and one in Maidan. Like, he was sent off even money for a group one in Maidan back in March. Again, travelled all over him, led a furlong out, didn't get home. I just think seven here against probably horses that he has more ability than. I just think it's a trip thing. I know on ratings he's a little bit of fine with a couple of them, but I don't think he's got a chance to show really what he's made of since he looked so brilliant when he won his maiden. Like, the second to Military March in the Autumn Stakes 2 years ago, that was probably one of his better runs over a mile. But again, I just don't think he got home. He was headed inside the final furlong. I think he's a seven furlong horse, and I think you're going to see the real Al Suhail today, tomorrow.
There you go. Al Suhail is the lay of the day and quite possibly the bet of the day, depending on who you listen to. Righty-ho, that was the TV action. We'll get the rest of the Saturday tips in just a mo.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. We've done the 8 ITV 4 races. Let's see what else the lads fancy on Saturday, as well as the Newbury and Ripon and Newmarket undercards. They're racing at Perth, they're racing at Doncaster, and in Ireland, Tramore. Plus, we've got evening action at Bath and Market Raisin. And obviously, Tom being Tom, there may well be some US tips as well. But we'll start with DJ. What have you got for us?
In the first race at Newbury, Bruce, it's a mile and a half maiden. Mojo Star for Richard Hannon and David Egan. That's a joke. He's 1-20. He was second in the Derby. I thought I might get a few laughs there. No, the 4 o'clock at Newbury, Tower Wreck runs here for Sir Michael Stout and Jim Crowley. Now, this horse has been really frustrating, but I think this is a perfect race for him. I thought it was a good run last time at Nottingham, off mark of 83, runs off the same mark here, and I think Newbury is a track that will suit him. A mile two off 83. If there's nothing really well handicapped, I just think he'll win. And also in the final race at Newbury, the 4:35, I thought Tralee Hills would be very hard to beat for Simon Hodgson and Sarah Bowen. Just a real consistent performer. It was well beaten last time at Salisbury, but it was a funny sort of a race, and didn't really show. I didn't think what Tralee Hills has made of. This is more his level, and I thought he picked this up for Sarah Bowden.
Apologies for not biting on the Mojo Star thing there, DJ. I must admit, I just haven't been through all the decks yet. Otherwise, I would have lost my rag and you'd have got your audience. Never mind. What have you got for us, Thomas?
Basically my two best UK tips are the two races we covered from Newmarket. So just a couple in the US, both at Saratoga, though. I should mention Arlington Park, brilliant night of racing, loads of grade ones. If you like Aidan O'Brien and Ballydore runners, well, Santa Barbara and Armoury are both running at Arlington. So make sure you watch the racing there. Two tips are going to be at Saratoga. The first is in the grade one, 4-star Dave handicap, 11:13 p.m. At Saratoga, race 10 on the card. Going to be with Casa Creed, the trainer Bill Mott. Now, the track is going to be wet. The turf track is going to be wet. I imagine they'll take a couple of the races off earlier on the card, so they leave the turf perfect for this grade one. Set piece is favourite for Brad Cox. He used to be trained by Hugo Palmer over here. I like Casa Creed. He likes a wet turf track. He was very impressive last time in the grade one Jaipur at Belmont. He's been freshened up for this race. A couple of really nice works, and he's got the best kick in the field. And the other selection is Extreme Force in the 9:29 at Saratoga. This is a weak non-winners of two claimer. Extreme Force has been picked up by Mike Maker, who's having a phenomenal meet. He's currently topping Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, etc. in the standings. Picked him up for 30,000 after he finished fourth last time at Belmont. maker instantly puts him up in grade, which is a very intriguing move for this 52 grand claimer. I think Extreme Force, who's going to be around 9-1, is a very decent price in the 9.29.
Splendid. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
We already know what yours is, Tom, but reiterate away.
Yeah, the nap is my style in the 2.35 at Newmarket.
Thank you very much. David Jennings?
I'm not just saying this because he's Tom's lay today. I think Al Suhail will absolutely destroy them in the hunger for 3.30.
Oh, no.
He's just a 7-furlong horse.
Has DJ done anything to dampen your enthusiasm of laying this thing, or are you standing your ground, Tom?
No, I'm standing my ground. He's not a 7-furlong horse. He just flattens to deceive. Really strong traveller that just doesn't really want to go through the race, I think.
Okay, right then. On Sunday, we've got the Prix Jacques Le Marois at Deauville, and it is going to be an absolute cracker. I'll take you through the field. I'll tell you what, lads, I cannot find. I don't know what's happening here, whether it's me being an ignoramus technologically or whether the bookmakers just haven't got round to doing it yet, but I can't find prices anywhere. Anyway, Palace Pier takes on the 1,000 guineas winner Mother Earth, the 2,000 guineas Poetic Flair, Alpine Star, who we only just beat in this last year, and various others. So it's a real...
Do you want prices, Bruce? I'll give you prices. Do you want prices?
Go on then. Please do.
Okay. From our good old buddy, Paul Binfield of Paddy Power, the Prix Jacques Le Marois. Desperately pronounced there. 4-6 Palace Pier, 130 Poetic Flair, 13-2 Alpine Star, 12-1 Victor Ladorum, 14-1 Midtown, 25-1 Chindit, 33-1 Ecrivan, and Order of Australia.
I'll tell you what, DJ, why don't you read the race title out with the sponsor on as well?
Prix Jacques Le Marois from Paddy Power.
No, come on, and the rest.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah, here, hold on. It's at the top here, yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, it is the 250 at Deauville, the Prix du Haras de Freine Le Bouffard Jacques Le Marois.
You sound like Joey Barton.
I don't know what happened in the middle there.
No,
it was like Steve McLaren.
That was excellent. I haven't watched Allo in ages. It reminded me of that. That was very good. Who wins it, DJ?
Oh, God. It's nearly as hard as the race title, I think. I think Palace Pier would probably win it. Would I back Palace Pier at 8-11? No, I wouldn't. I think the value is actually Alpine Star. I can see Alpine Star run the big race here. She's got her ground. I think this is her track and trip. I think she'll run a really big race. I would be interested. I think the bet is actually, if you can get a price, which you will obviously, get a price on Alpine Star without Palace Pier. I think that's the way to go. You know, Poetic Flair has been to a lot of the big dances. Yes, I know he ran well in the Sussex. Probably chased the pace too early, but it's been a busy start. I know Jim Butcher does an incredible job with these horses and manages them to run so many times in the season. But this is going to be Poetic Flair's 7th run of the season. I just wonder, will it start to catch up on him? Alpine Star comes in here much fresher. She's a good filly. She was just beaten by Tarnow at Longchamp last October. I think she'd be second to Palace Pier. Alpine Star in the betting without market would interest me.
There's rumours that Jessica Harrington once had a runner that you didn't tip. Who do you fancy, Tom Collins?
Yeah, it's going to be two selections for Palace Pier as the likely winner of the race. I understand if plenty want to try and find the value. There's 8 runners. You can find the each-way play. But I just think with Palace Pier, he's the most consistent horse in the race. His only defeat came on basically unraceable ground at Ascot when he lost a shoe. He's basically been unbeatable since. I can't see Poetic Flair beating him. I completely agree with what DJ said. He's danced every dance. I don't think the ground's going to be suitable either. Palace Pier just is the best horse in the race. I wish Baid was in the field. Baid was initially priced up at 5-4 to win this race. Palace Pier was 7-2.
Oh,
couldn't believe
you're
it.
Joking.
No, exactly.
5-4.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Baid's not going to run, which gets rid of the value on Palace Pier. But I still think he's the worthy favourite. He's probably going to be the first horse to win this race back to back since 1997.
I'll tell you what, whenever we do see Baid, he's going to be short, isn't he? I mean, he might well be the real deal, but goodness me, he's good. Whatever that reappearance is going to be, it's going to be short. Okay, right then, as we said at the start of the show, we've got the Ebor Festival starting at York next week. Runs from Wednesday through to Saturday. Some fantastic racing. I cannot let the boys go without giving us a nap. So we'll start with you, David Jennings.
I do think Mishriff will win the Judmont International. I know that's a big call to fancy him to revise those placings with St. Mark's Basilica from the Eclipse. I just loved his run in the King George. I didn't think he quite got home, so I think he's got a massive chance. But one that I do like in the Ebor, which I actually have a decent record in the Ebor, I have to say. It's one of the races that I've managed to get right. I think Without a Fight has got a big chance here for Simon and Ed Crisford. Down to Mark, back down, dropped £2 from its Goodwood run. That was very disappointing at Goodwood. Didn't show what he was capable of there. But I just thought all season he was in a similar sort of mould to Fajera Prince in that he has the potential to make it at a better grade. And I just thought Without a Fight, rate 107, right in the right type of mark you want for this race. I think he's got a massive chance to Ebor. Without a Fight.
Who was the Gosden horse that you tipped up in the Ebor? And you were so persuasive, we had to back him, and I had a decent bet on him.
Went to the Melbourne Cup afterwards.
Yeah, with him, didn't it?
Was it Muckadram or something like that?
Yeah, it was. That was a brilliant tip. That was one of your finest moments, DJ.
Muntaha.
That's it. Who do you like next week at York, Thomas?
The Nap is going to be Perfect Power in the Gym Crack, providing he runs. I know there were plans to go to France, but he's still in the entries at the moment. I think he's around 6-1. That's the 3 o'clock on Thursday, Perfect Power. He was really impressive in the Norfolk at Royal Ascot. I had my doubts, actually, after that race, despite the fact he beat subsequent Group 1 winner Go Bears Go. I had my doubts because he came towards the stand side, and we know that early on in the Royal Ascot meeting this year, there was a huge bias towards the stand side rail runners. Perfect Power was basically closest against Stanside. However, he proved that was no fluke at Goodwood last time in the vintage. Now, I know if you look on form figures, you'll see he finished fifth behind Asymmetric, and you'll be like, why am I saying that? He was the best horse in that race, no doubt. He just didn't change his leads. He got unbalanced down the hill. Paul Hannigan couldn't find a gap. He should have won. I think he's going to win the Gym Crack if he goes there. And then I think he'll win the Middle Park and potentially the Commonwealth Cup next year. I think he's the best two-year-old sprinter that we've seen so far this season.
Blimey, you've given your crystal ball a polish there, haven't you? Excellent, Perfect Power. That is actually on Friday, the Gym Crack, but a very persuasive case there. Thank you very much indeed, chat. Loads more York previews on Monday when Maddie and the team return. They'll also be looking back on a weekend. A weekend we hope that is profitable for you, but do please bet safely just in case all your horses aren't on top of their game. Maddie's back on Monday. We're back on Friday for more great racing postcasts.